your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios, what an honor to be here with you for this hour of Armed American Radio as we fill your prescription for freedom across America's airwaves, coast to coast, every week here on the Armed American Radio Network, from those toasty beaches of Florida, all the way to those crab fishing vessels of Alaska. Now, Sean, you're laughing. Let's get this out of the way quickly. We have a huge hour here on the AAR Network today, so let's do this quickly. Beginning Monday, April 6th, Armed American Radio's Daily Defense begins. I will be filling your prescription for freedom every day, Monday through Friday, from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Visit us at facebook.com/armedamericanradio or continue to check us out at Twitter, AARRADIO, at AAR Radio, for up-to-the-moment information as we have those new live streams available for you as we continue to build our affiliate base. We will have a number of affiliates carrying the show at various times throughout the week, but until we get there, you will be able to use that goofy little device you hold in your hands that Steve Jobs created to be able to listen to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense beginning Monday, April 6th. Okay, let's go right to the guest lineup. First, I'll start with Neil McCabe, Washington, D.C.'s Armed American Radio editor, Washington, D.C. Neil McCabe, how you doing? Finger on the pulse, I get?
Hey, we're ready, Mark. We're locked and cocked and ready to rock.
All right, let's do this. Let's introduce Grover, all right? Grover Norquist. Grover Norquist is the founder, is the president of Americans for Tax Reform, a taxpayer advocacy group that he founded in 1985 at President Ronald Reagan's request. Where is that man today when we need him? ATR works to limit the size and cost of government and opposes higher taxes at the federal, state, and local levels and supports tax reform that moves towards taxing consumed income one time at one rate. And on and on. He serves on the board of directors of the National Rifle Association of America. We will discuss that in detail today. The American Conservative Union, the Parental Rights Organization and Center for the National Interest, formerly the Nixon Center, serves as a contributing editor of the American Spectator magazine, serves as president of the American Society of Competitiveness, authored three books, Rock the House, Leave Us Alone, Getting the Government's Hands Off of Our Money, Our Guns, Our Lives. We like that. And with co-author John Lott, Debacle, Obama's War on Jobs and Growth, and What We Can Do Now to Regain Our Future. Grover Norquist, welcome to the show. It is a pleasure and an honor to have you here, sir.
I am delighted to be with you. I'm talking to you from Austin at Stubbs, the ribs place in Austin, Texas.
You know what, Grover? Nice. I tell you, we have a great history with ribs on this show and with Neil McCabe.
Hey, Grover.
We don't have time.
Hey, Neil.
We don't have time to go into that now. Okay, Grover, let's start with this.
Let me just explain. Grover's from a small town called Weston. And I grew up probably 10 miles away in Franklin, Mass. So we probably have the same feelings growing up about ribs.
Okay,
one thing, Weston, my hometown, Massachusetts, has more concealed carry permits per capita than any other town or city in Massachusetts. There are 250,000 in Massachusetts. You don't think of it as a concealed carry state, but my hometown, number one.
Yeah, so that is great. You know, you don't think about that in Massachusetts, but real quick about
quarter
the ribs.
Million.
It was always about the down south. We say, y'all want to go and get some ribs? And Neil, what do you say up there in Boston?
Yeah, you go out to get some ribs. We're going to the store.
All right. Well, Grover's down in Austin, and Stubbs is great. All right. Boy, Grover, you were scheduled. I want to lay this foundation here. You were scheduled to be on the program last week in advance, and you were unable to make it because you were traveling, and you agreed to reschedule this week. We thank you very much for that. In between that time, we had a story blow up when Glenn Beck, on his program last week, made comments that he would refuse or he would drop his membership in the National Rifle Association if you were reelected to the board. Here's what he said. Sean, go ahead and play that clip.
To me, about the possibility that he might be reelected to the board, it's bad enough that he was on it in the first place, but reelected to the board of the National Rifle Association, is that I think these influence operations on behalf of enemies of this country are continuing. We've done a dossier on this, which people can check out at securefreedom.org. It's called Agent of Influence, Grover Norquist and the Assault on the Right.
Okay. Tell us
one moment, please.
What you're concerned about with the NRA. I will tell you that I am so concerned about this, Frank, and I am not an expert on Grover Norquist by any stretch of the imagination, but I have heard enough that makes me concerned enough that, and I hope the leadership of the NRA hears this, and every member of the NRA hears this, that if this man is elected or reelected and confirmed on the board of the NRA, I may drop my membership in the NRA. I mean, I am that concerned that he is a very bad influence and a very bad man. That if
all right, Sean, go ahead and cut that now. We've got enough of that. Grover, now's the opportunity. Please take it away in your response to that.
Oh, sure. Two things. The first person who was talking, the person who's made all the attacks on me, when is a guy named Frank Gaffney. If you have a certain amount of prominence in Washington, D.C., they assign you a stalker. And I got one whose life has not gone the way he'd hoped it would over the last 20 years. And so for the last 15 years, he's blamed all of life's problems on me. He runs around telling people I'm a homosexual, that I'm a bad guy, I'm a terrorist, and all sorts of – I'm a member of the Jewish-Russian mafia. It changes over time. And to be fair to Glenn Beck, he made it very clear he doesn't know anything about specifically about the accusations. But Frank has gone around for 15 years attacking me and making up news stories. In D.C., everybody in the media who's, you know, talked to him about it has realized it was silly. The American Conservative Union, he went to them and said they should fire me because I was a terrorist. And they looked at all of his accusations and they voted to ban him from CPAC. The Paul Weyrich luncheon, he wanted to throw somebody else, not me, but somebody else out of a meeting that they had because he thought they were terrorists. They said, come and go through all your stuff. They spent hours going through it. And at the end of it, they voted to expel Frank Gaffney from the meeting. There have been three conservative groups that have looked into all of his sad, it's not silly, it's sad, situation. And each has decided to discipline him for making up fibs. So every once in a while, somebody gets fooled briefly by it. Beck has very clearly made it clear that he doesn't know what's going on, but is concerned. I think it'd be great for the NRA to put a stake through the heart of this at the end of the day. I've been on the board for 15 years. I've worked with everybody there. This happens, but I've learned to live with it over 15 years. All the grown-ups in D.C. have realized how silly it is, and that's why you haven't heard about it before, because everyone who's been serious about it and taken the time has realized it's nonsense. So it happens. Frank does this every couple of years. Looks like malaria keeps coming back.
Any particular thoughts on why he came back at this point in time on this?
Oh, no, he just does it. He just does it all the time. And everyone said, well, he'll get lucky. As you know, he saw Beck at some event and he breathlessly told him he had this wonderful story. And the next morning he did all this on radio. And it happens. It's happened before. People realize it's not quite what he suggested. And I mean, when he goes to Grover's a terrorist too, and if you laugh at him about that, he says Grover's homosexual. You begin to realize that it's not about anything except sad personal animus. It's unfortunate.
You know, Glenn Beck had mentioned he went on. That was on Wednesday last week. On Friday, he went on to state in no unequivocal terms that he was going to leave the NRA. He said he had had a lengthy private conversation with Wayne LaPierre. He repeated it on the air that they were, in fact, as a result of that conversation, going to open up an inquiry and that they were going to be very transparent and post the results for everybody to see on their website. I'm assuming that you welcome that based on what you just said.
Oh, it's the best thing in the world. This is it'd be the fourth time a conservative group has done this and the fourth time that they'll say, you know, people who make up fantasy stories ought to be disciplined. I think it's a great idea.
All right, good. That's good to hear.
I'm really glad to hear you say that, Grover, because you know, Gaffney is definitely considered crazy eyes by conservatives in D.C. And then every so often, like you said, he comes back like the cicadas when somebody takes him seriously.
Yeah, it happens. Look, it's part of life. If you want to, I mean, I run Americans for Tax Reform. We went head to head with Obama and Harry Reid in 2011, and they ended up signing a bill, the President of the United States signed a bill that set a cap on spending for the first time in the history of this republic, an actual cap on spending, $2.5 trillion over the decade, $2.5 trillion lower than they'd been planning to spend. That's a real, spending went from 24% of the American economy 2009, 2010, down today to 20%. Now, that's way too high, right?
Grover, I need to stop you right there as we're getting ready to take a break. Enjoy another rib while we're on this break. We'll be back with Grover Norquist and Neil McCabe right after this. Don't go away.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to DefendFamilyNow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit DefendFamilyNow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's DefendFamilyNow.com.
Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
Armed American Radio has joined forces with Gander Mountain and Gander Mountain Academy Firearms Training Centers. Gander Mountain is America's largest retail network of outdoor supply stores and one of the nation's largest retailers of firearms and shooting supplies. Staffed with world-class instructors, virtual shooting ranges, indoor live fire ranges, and 180 and 300-degree simulators, Gander Mountain Academy provides the ultimate firearms training experience. For a list of locations, visit GanderMountain.com/academy now.
Finally, ladies and gentlemen, a 22 Magnum pistol with a 30-round capacity magazine. You heard me right. The Kel-Tec PMR-30 is a lightweight, full-size pistol chambered in 22 Magnum with a double-stack magazine. With a crisp single-action pull and fiber-optic sights, the Kel-Tec PMR-30 is perfect for small game or target shooting. To see it for yourself, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com.
Car Arms introduces the new addition to their double-action micro-compact pistol line, the CW380, with a 2.5-inch barrel, an overall length under 5 inches, and standing under 4 inches tall. The CW380 weighs just 10.2 ounces, making it the perfect choice for lawful concealed carry. The micro-compact CW380 allows rapid-fire follow-up shots with little recoil and retails for under $420. The new CW380 from Car Arms. Carry one today.
The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant, often imitated but never duplicated. The Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you will meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
Thank you. This upcoming segment of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
TeachUSCCA.com, a great organization. Check them out at USCCA.com. One final note before we move forward with other pressing issues with Grover Norquist and Neil McCabe, and this is my own opinion. I've always said this here on Armed American Radio, that, and I've used the analogy, when we have a fight with our spouse, we don't walk out into the front yard and air it out in front of the neighbors. We do it behind closed doors when we want to have an intimate argument about something that's close to our hearts. The mistake I think Glenn Beck made was by airing that out, giving a big stick to the left. You've got every leftist organization on the planet out there running with that story right now. My position is, if you have a beef, don't ask people to leave the NRA family. The NRA is vital to our cause right now. You need to join the NRA right now. We need you in the NRA. And I'm not a paid spokesman for the NRA. I'm a member just like you might be, or like Glenn Beck is, for that matter, and I wish that that would have been kept in. If you've got a beef within the NRA, let's air it out as a family. Moving forward. All right, Grover.
Yes, sir.
Neil.
Hey.
Let's move on to, Neil, let's move into some different topics. Grover, you have a new book out.
Absolutely. April 7th, my book is End the IRS Before It Ends Us, us being U.S. And here's the interesting thing. It's a fun book. It's a history of taxation in the United States, and it goes from when we used to pay in 1774, before the Revolution, 1774, Americans paid between 1% and 2% of our income in taxes. The British, our oppressors, our colonial masters, in London, they were paying 20%. Expensive to run an empire. They were paying 20, we were paying 1 to 2. We had strong growth. They wanted to raise taxes. We had a revolution. We told them to go away. And somehow we went from 1 to 2 to where today the government, federal, state, and local governments take about a third of everything Americans produce. My book is, how did that happen? How did they trick us into getting more and more of our lives under their control? And then what do we do? You know, I mean, there's not one answer. There are many answers, everything from transparency in government to going state by state to eliminate state income taxes to moving down federal income tax towards zero. So I enjoy it. It's a fun book. I did the audio version, which I'd never done before for a book. I spent 30 hours reading, a lot of green tea, a lot of honey, no coffee, makes your tummy rumble, and then you have to redo it. No milk. Evidently, that makes your mouth go snap, snap, snap. And 30 hours of reading the book. And it's a fun book, and I think it's an important book. How do we get into this mess? How do we get out?
A lot of Americans want to know that right now. We've got to move quickly with you, too, because time is
sure.
always flying by on this program. Is Obama the greatest threat? Let me ask you this. Is Obama a socialist?
Obama is moving the country in that direction. What his reasons for doing that are, interesting question. He always opts for bigger government, more taxes, and more control. That is his default position. So he is operationally a statist, yes.
Does Obama want to take our firearms from us, in your view?
Oh, yes. Are you kidding? Oh, no. John Lott, who I wrote a book with and who does wonderful work on research on the Second Amendment and how concealed carry has dropped the crime rate across this country. Everyone goes, how come the crime rate's dropping? I'll tell you why. Because there are a million Americans with concealed carry permits and more who have the right to carry concealed in states like Arizona and Vermont and Wyoming and Alaska and soon others, where you don't need a permit, but you can carry concealed anyway or open. So we've dramatically increased the ability of Americans to defend themselves. Who's surprised that crime has gone down in exactly those counties and states that have made that right more palpable? Obama told John Lott, he was telling me this the other day, when they were both professors at Chicago, and he said, I don't think people have any right to have guns. That's what Obama said. As a college professor, not a student, professor, he made it very clear he didn't care what the Second Amendment says.
And Grover, he was teaching the Constitution at that time, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
He hadn't read the whole thing, but he was teaching me about it.
He'd have been better off in class. Grover, let me continue on this line of questioning. Many gun owners, myself included, I believe that we need to fix immigration in this country. I also believe that Obama's illegal grab, his illegal push for amnesty via executive order, is a tremendous threat, if not the greatest threat, to the future of Second Amendment rights in this country, as it would help cement Democrat majority control in this country, in their own words, for the next 20 to 30 years. Your thoughts on that?
That's what Obama thinks. Every immigrant group has started more Democrat, and the next generation votes the same way people have been here for generations. I do think the NRA has been very active in trying to outreach to all immigrant groups to make them more gun-friendly, more understanding the Second Amendment, more understanding the gun culture. We're getting there, but immigrant groups, you know, if you come from a country with no history of gun rights, you've got to make it clear to people you have that right. People want that right. They just didn't occur that they had it if they came from certain other countries. Obama's on immigration, on a number of issues, going after the Internet. He's been going after the Internet just as he's gone after our Second Amendment, just as he's gone after our takeover immigration. He's trying to govern as a king. You're asking about socialist. I think monarch, okay, King of England. He thinks that Congress should get out of the way and let him run, fill in the blank. Immigration, Second Amendment, taxes. He announced the other day he thought he could unilaterally raise taxes, even though in the Constitution it kind of says the House of Representatives has to get the ball rolling on that. This looks as a real threat. He's gone in 2 years. He can do a lot of damage between now and then. We need to, one, replace him with someone who takes the Second Amendment seriously. And that's what the we have a lot of solid Republican governors who've been heroes on the Second Amendment, running for president. We have defense in depth this time around.
You mentioned the National Rifle Association. You're a member of the board of the NRA.
Yeah.
How long have you been on the board of the NRA?
I've been on the board of directors for about 15 years.
Okay.
Up in Weston, we had a rifle range. My parents have a rifle range in our basement. So it's always been an important issue, both personally but also politically, defending it. We don't have gun rights because of the Second Amendment. We're supposed to have gun rights because of the Second Amendment. We have gun rights because of the NRA and Americans being active to protect their rights. When you win the argument, then the Supreme Court comes back and says, oh, yeah, Second Amendment. We read that now. They went 100 years not reading the Second Amendment. It was the American people getting concealed carry passed state by state, defending their gun rights state by state, protecting places where people could hunt, places where people could shoot competitively, places where people could target shoot. And we made sure there was space for us, and we got strong enough. 5% of the American people, 1 out of 20 American adults, has a concealed carry permit. That's a movement that even the Supreme Court has to take under consideration.
Grover, we're going to run out of time, and I appreciate you being here. I know you've given us a half hour. I know you've got to get back to your ribs. I'd like to ask you right now, before the music starts, can we come back to you and bring you back in after the ballots are counted? I'd love to have you back and continue this conversation.
I would love to. Look, the Second Amendment's going to win. The NRA is going to keep growing. We have a movement and a right to protect. Your show is such a key part of that. The concealed carry movement is such a key part of that.
We'll be back. Grover, thank you very much, my friend. We'll be back right after this.
Even in a clear-cut case of self-defense, a single bullet could cost you more than you think. As a responsible American, you shouldn't have to fear unjust prosecution for using your gun in self-defense. That's why the USCCA Self-Defense Shield is here for you. The most comprehensive insurance-backed protection to help you take control and eliminate the threat of legal and financial ruin when you're forced to defend your loved ones. As a USCCA member, your Self-Defense Shield coverage will give you up to $600,000 to help you get the expert defense you deserve. This member benefit is backed by an A-rated insurance company. Your membership also includes a subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine, all for as little as $12 per month. Your membership is 100% risk-free thanks to our bulletproof 365-day money-back guarantee. Visit carry123.com to learn more and get a free 24-page concealed carry guide. Visit carry123.com and take control today. That's carry123.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at waltherarms.com. Known as a bad-to-the-bone fighter with a rebel soul and a rock and roll attitude, the Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is destined to be a classic. Designer Ernest Emerson says the Roadhouse is one of his best designs ever. Just like a chopped Harley, it's low-slung and ready to roar. It feels like you've just dropped the clutch and it's ready to jump out of your hand. The Roadhouse from Emerson Knives is a must-have tactical folder. Visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is proudly being sponsored by the Second Amendment Foundation. Join them, won't you, at saf.org.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. A little bit of AC/DC bringing us back from the break. We're going to be moving on now. I've got a lot of comments, and I know a lot of you have a lot of comments and questions about Grover Norquist. Let me go to Neil McCabe first. Neil McCabe, Washington's Armed American Radio's Washington, D.C. editor. How you doing, brother?
I thought that was fantastic to have Grover on, and I think he stood up and answered everything directly. I don't think there's any doubt how he feels that, you know, he welcomes the NRA looking into this thing, and let's settle this thing once and for all.
Well, there's something I want to make very clear about Grover Norquist. He knew what we were going to be talking about. My job was not to sit here and beat him up. I anticipate having him back on the program again. These are questions that were raised by Glenn Beck on Glenn Beck's program last week. And you've got to go and do there's these accusations and stories about Grover Norquist and the Muslim Brotherhood and everything else have been all over for, you know, Michelle Malkin has been all over it since 2009. These stories have been out there for years and years. And it's quite honestly, it's mind-boggling. Neil, it's very there's a lot to grasp in here, and look at all of these accusations. Some of them off the chain, some of them appear legitimate. Then you see something that gets debunked. What I wanted to do, what my intention was with Grover Norquist was allow him the opportunity to answer what he heard on Glenn Beck's program.
I mean, there isn't a single American, with the possible exception of Ronald Reagan or Andrew Mellon, who is Calvin Coolidge's Secretary of the Treasury, who has done more to make taxes lower and fairer and this government more reasonable than Grover Norquist. I mean, it's monumental what he has accomplished. And, you know, the idea that Glenn Beck would give, like you said earlier, a stick to hit the left, give the left a stick to hit Grover with. I mean, I know the guy. I've worked with the guy. You know, and so it's like when I hear these things, you know, I take it with a grain of salt because Gaffney has become crazy eyes. But that's my view, you know, and I know, you know, you're taking it. You're the host, and you have to take it in a different perspective because you're sort of trying to be an honest broker. But from my view, I really appreciate Grover coming on because, frankly, after all the years he's had to deal with it, I'd be angry to have to deal with it again, and I thought he handled it like a gentleman.
I'm looking forward to having him back after he welcomed. I asked him if he welcomed the NRA's supposed investigation and inquiry. Let's see what the NRA comes back with, and let's see how he handles that. And you heard him. He will come back on this program, and we will talk about it. That's the way that's going to shake out. And I do appreciate him coming on. He knew we were going to be talking about it, and he had no problem addressing the issue. So I thank him for that. All right, Neil, our next guest, legendary Senate staffer. I'm going to let you do the introduction. Go ahead, Mike Hammond.
Yeah, Mike Hammond, the guy we're going to have on next, is a legend, like Mark said. He's a legendary Senate staffer. He worked for Jesse Helms. He worked for Senator James Buckley of New York. And he is really an influential guy in the use of parliamentary tactics and in the use of sort of defending constitutional freedoms. And, you know, the tactics and the strategies that he developed in the 1970s really set up the Reagan Revolution and conservatism in the 80s. And now he's working as an attorney for Gun Owners of America. And I asked him to come on and sort of talk about what we can do to fight the ATF and defend gun rights in today's political environment in Washington. How you doing, Mike?
Neil, hello, Mark. Hello, Armed America.
Hey, it's great to have you here, Mike Hammond. Thank you for joining the Armed American Radio
Thank
Network.
Thank you for having me.
We've got a lot to talk with you about, a lot going on out there. The Gun Owners of America, Larry Pratt's a great friend of mine personally, and he's a great friend of this show. He was just on about 2 weeks ago, and he's one of my three favorite guests, you know that? And I have a feeling you're going to be adding that, make that the fourth favorite guest.
I hope so.
We have so much to go over with you. Your background, I mean, you guys, between you and Neil, you know so much about what's going on inside that beltway in Washington. And as he said, parliamentary tactics. Let's start with this.
Yes.
The overall Barack Obama agenda is no secret to Armed American Radio listeners. We all know what his ultimate goal is. We know what the goal of the left is when it comes to guns, and that's to take them away. They've never met a gun control bill or a gun control idea that they haven't fawned all over and loved. The problem that they have is every once in a while, one of their little minions slips up and the truth comes out, and you can see gun ban, permanent, everything written all over it, the M855 and these underhanded tactics behind the scenes and around Congress from Obama. Your thoughts on what their ultimate goal is?
Well, there are a few benefits to being very, very, very old, but one of them is you see the grand scope of history. When I was in college in 1968, I remember that I was in ROTC during the Vietnam War, and a platoon full of students would be standing out on Big Bend Avenue in St. Louis, carrying their semi-automatic firearms in their arms, normally in civilian clothes. And people would drive up and down on Big Bend and would look at the platoon full of kids with their semi-automatic rifles, and it didn't occur to anyone that we were going to shoot up the place. Later that year, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Gun Control Act of 1968. So how did that work out? Immediately, there was a massive spike in crime. And we have seen since 1968, every few years, the anti-gunners try to take a tragedy and spin it into the next round of gun control. And we've seen the armor-piercing bullet ban, the plastic gun ban, the semi-auto ban, the Brady Law, the Lautenberg Amendment, the Cole Amendment, and each time We have seen that to the extent that people in the gun, the pro-gun movement, have agreed to pass a compromise version of that legislation. We have seen two things. First of all, the gun control legislation was, if anything, counterproductive. Certainly it didn't do anything to stop crime. Secondly, we have seen that the gun control legislation, in fact, was nothing but a platform to the next round of gun control. I was in 1994, I was a consultant with the National Rifle Association, and at the time, the guy who was effectively running it was a guy named Neil Knox, an old friend of mine, a wonderful man, and a man who had a long-standing commitment to the Second Amendment. And I managed to get on a three-way teleconference call with him in order to try to persuade him not to sign off on the Brady Law. And Neil said to me, he said, Mike, said Bob Dole has told us, and any sentence that starts with the words Bob Dole can't be going anywhere good. Said Bob Dole has told us this is the gun control to end all gun control, that once we pass this, the next time they say we want gun control, we can respond, no, we passed the Brady Law, and that's all we're going to do. Well, I think we've seen recently with Barack Obama's gun control that the Brady Law was nothing but a platform for the call to close loopholes in the Brady Law. Ultimately, if you look at a jurisdiction such as New York, such as California, in which gun control people have been able to get anything they want, what they want is a virtual, complete, and total ban on all firearms. And anything else is just putting points on the board as a way station to achieving that objective.
All right. I couldn't be in more agreement with that. Their agenda simply will not work unless firearms are taken away. It's that simple. When you cut through all of the icing and you get down to the meat of it, that's exactly what has to happen for their agenda to become successful.
It was the funniest thing, because, or funny in an odd way, because when Barack Obama came in post-Newtown with the intention
Mike, I need to stop you. I need to stop you there quickly. I want you to be able to finish that thought, so keep that in mind, and when we come back from the break, we'll take it right from there. I'm talking to legendary staffer, Inside the Beltway guy. He knows it, man. This is Mike Hammond when we come back here on the Armed American Radio Network. Back right after this. The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today.
Small, fast, and reliable. Introducing the new CCP, the ultimate 9mm concealed carry pistol from Walther. The CCP's innovative soft coil gas technology softens recoil and allows easy slide manipulation for greater control and accuracy. The small size, ergonomic grips, and light weight make the Walther CCP both easy to shoot and comfortable to carry. The Walther CCP. Learn more at WaltherArms.com. Crossbreed Holsters is proud to offer an addition to our already outstanding belt selection. Introducing the Instructor's Belt. Offering the same quality as our original gun belts and dress belts, the Crossbreed Instructor's Belt offers a clean, buckle-less design intended for a sharp and professional appearance. Sturdy, but not stiff, the Instructor Belt provides even weight distribution of your gun and gear and looks as great out on the town as it does on the range. Crossbreed Holsters, often imitated but never duplicated. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. CrossbreedHolsters.com. The Super Tuck by Crossbreed Holsters, the most comfortable and concealable holster available on the market today. Is it any wonder why it's the most copied design on the planet? Used by law enforcement and civilians around the world, the Super Tuck by Crossbreed is adjustable for ride depth and cant. Often imitated, but never duplicated, the Super Tuck holster is available for a wide variety of popular carry guns. For more information and to order your Super Tuck, visit CrossbreedHolsters.com. That's CrossbreedHolsters.com.
The United States Concealed Carry Association is excited to host its first ever Concealed Carry Expo May 8th, 9th, and 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. With a full schedule of seminars, demonstrations, and presentations from top firearm industry experts and trainers, you'll meet top manufacturers and suppliers in the exhibit hall, shoot a variety of handguns at the live fire range, and be entertained at Saturday evening's fashion show. The USCCA Concealed Carry Expo May 8th through 10th, 2015 in West Bend, Wisconsin. For more information and to plan your trip, visit ConcealedCarryExpo.com.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
This upcoming segment of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
Welcome back to the Crossbreed Holster Studios. I am Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom. You know, on no other radio program will you hear this. Are you running out of ammo? You need the 223? That they're trying to ban, sendmeammo.com, and it comes right to your house. Yes, you're going to pay some shipping for it. No, you don't have to go out and get it. Sendmeammo.com, and it delivers right to your house. I'm looking at four boxes of 50 rounds each of 223 that just delivered to my house last week. It's sitting right over there. I got to paint that picture, theater of the mind, for you. It's right there on the windowsill, and I will have it delivering to me regularly. I've got 9mm coming as well. Sendmeammo.com. Welcome back to the program. Neil McCabe, always a pleasure to have you here. You're going to stay with us for this segment and the remainder of the next hour. Let's talk. We're talking with Senate staffer Mike Hammond. Mike, welcome back. I want you to go ahead and finish your thought.
Oh, well, I'll shorten my thought substantially. All I was going to say is it always struck us as strange following Newtown that this gaggle of human props would go to Hartford or to Albany and applaud while the governors of those respective states sign comprehensive gun registry legislation and then would fly to Washington the next day. And when we accuse them of trying to use Obama gun control in order to create those same registries, they'd say, who said anything about gun registration? Well, you know, if you really are against gun registration, maybe you shouldn't have applauded so hard the day before when it was signed into law in the states in which you get your way.
Well, Mike, I want to ask you, in the time we have left, you know, the Manchin-Toomey bill failed to get 60 votes, but it did get 54 votes. And yeah. Right now we're sort of in a strange period with the filibuster. the Harry Reid pulled the nuclear option, basically eliminating the filibuster for many issues. Where does the filibuster stand now? And is it possible through parliamentary technique of appealing the ruling of the chair, say, to reinstate that filibuster that, frankly, it's the filibuster that's been the firewall stopping these anti-gun bills?
We're right in the middle of that battle, and frankly, we would have comprehensive gun control, semi-auto bans, magazine bans, bullet bans, universal gun registries, were it not for the Senate filibuster. Heaven knows we certainly can't count on the courts in that respect. And so the Senate filibuster has basically protected us from all these things. Now, Harry Reid in November 2013 pulled a little parliamentary trick. It was called the nuclear option. Didn't change the Senate rules. The Senate rules still require 60 votes for virtually everything. But he said, we will ignore the Senate rules. We will pretend that the Senate rules don't exist, and we will use that pretense in order to pack the court with anti-gun judges, fill up the head of BATF, and basically confirm a whole bunch of anti-gun appointments, including the Surgeon General of the United States. So at this point, Republicans have a choice. They can, the Senate rules say you need 60 votes. They can say, we're going to follow the rules, we're going to follow the black letter of the law, or they can say, Harry Reid has forced our hand, we are going to repeat the fraudulent pretense that Harry Reid exploded in November 2013. And frankly, I think the Republic, and what's at stake is this. If they require only 50 votes in order to confirm Loretta Lynch as Attorney General of the United States, we're going to have an Attorney General who has been described as Eric Holder in a skirt, but is in some respects more dangerous than Eric Holder because she is a candidate in waiting for the United States Supreme Court seats held by Antonin Scalia and Anthony Kennedy. If we allow her to be confirmed, we have no one else to blame when Obama or Hillary Clinton or Elizabeth Warren or whoever nominates her to the Supreme Court, and she becomes that fifth vote, which overturns the Heller case and overturns the McDonald case. She will get confirmed if we follow Reid's precedents and require 50 votes and allow Joe Biden to break the tie. She will not be confirmed if we follow the Senate rules and require 60 votes for her confirmation.
I don't see anything from Mitch McConnell that says that it's not going to happen. Let me give you what I believe are six things here as a multi-prong approach, and then I want to ask you a very pointed question about Senate and House leadership. I believe that the administration is now, along with their cohorts in crime here and this anti-gunners, are using a multi-prong and very well-orchestrated and well-funded approach to take our rights away from us. Number one, they're working behind the scenes and in conjunction with the Bloomberg machine and hundreds of millions of dollars to move this out of the halls of Congress to the states, as we saw in Connecticut, New York, and as we saw in Washington, and as it now moves throughout the Southwest, Nevada, and Arizona, coming after us with the quote-unquote universal background check bills. Number two, I think they're going to continue to use liberal Democrats at the federal level to scream for more gun control because they know they have the media in their pocket, and that will keep it on the front pages. Number three, they own the media coverage. We know that. Enough said. Number four, executive orders. Obama's continuing to circumvent the Congress and our laws with executive actions such as the latest grab at the M855 ammo. Number five, illegal alien lawbreakers. Let's face it. I believe that to be the single greatest threat we face moving forward, and the Democrats know it and have stated as much. And time. The gun control jihadis are patient, brother. They'll wait as long as it takes. My pointed question to you is, can we trust current leadership, Mitch McConnell and John Boehner, who we've witnessed cave at every twist and turn, who, quite frankly, don't know how to act as a majority leader in either House of Congress? Are we in decent hands here with these guys at the helm?
Well, we're not in Mitch McConnell's hands. We're in Mike Lee's hands. All we need is a single senator to appeal the ruling of a chair with respect to following Harry Reid's nuclear precedent. And at that point, Mitch McConnell is put in a position where he basically has to oppose Harry Reid. As a matter of fact, Lindsey Graham and John McCain are probably put in the same position. So this is a phenomenon which I've seen over and over again over 40 years, my 40 years in politics. You don't need the leadership if you have someone to show the courage to stand up and call their bluff.
Can we learn something from Nancy Pelosi?
We can learn a lot from Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama and Harry Reid. Right now, Harry Reid is running the Senate with 46 votes. But however vile his principles and objectives, he's willing to fight for them. He's willing to fight for what he believes in. And Barack Obama is as well. If not our leadership, our conservatives, aren't willing to fight for the Second Amendment, then I don't know why we elected them.
Mike Hammond, everybody on Armed American Radio. Mike, thank you. I'm looking forward to bringing you back to the Armed American Radio Network very, very soon. Neil McCabe, you will stick around with us for the next
hour.
And
thank you, Michael.
It will be explosive conversation. Remember, I tell you every week, I'll tell you now, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club. I hope you enjoyed that hour. I enjoyed that hour. And I wish Sean would quit giving me the wrong timestamps in my head. Sean, we've got another great hour coming up. The commentary is going to be huge. Sorry to knock you. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.
Here I come again now, baby, like a dog in heat.
Way too often we hear stories of law-abiding gun owners being labeled as vigilantes and the violent thugs being painted as sweet, harmless kids. Here's the thing. If you own a firearm and are forced to use it to protect your loved ones, your toughest battle might very well happen afterwards in the courtroom. You need to know your rights and understand exactly what happens after the smoke clears. And that's the reason the United States Concealed Carry Association exists. So if you go to defendfamilynow.com right now, you can download our groundbreaking guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense that will help you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy court, and home with your family when you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. This guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life one day. Simply visit defendfamilynow.com to download your 100% free guide. Again, that's defendfamilynow.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tim Schmidt, founder of the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every week, Mark talks about the attacks on our Second Amendment from anti-gun politicians across America, and we talk about what's being done to preserve and protect freedom. The National Rifle Association, America's oldest civil rights organization, is the leader in preserving the Second Amendment. Because of NRA's 4 million members, the National Rifle Association's grassroots advocacy is the nation's most successful. Imagine what we could accomplish with more members like you to join the fight. That's why you need to be a member. Sign up today. There's no excuse. Help fight for our freedom. Join NRA and learn all about NRA Institute for Legislative Action's efforts to make sure American gun laws work for you. I'm a life member, and it's one of the most important things I ever did. Call 800-672-3888 or sign up online at www.membership.nrahq.org.